If you fail to plan, then you plan to fail. And we don't want to fail in our planning in worshiping God. Sometimes we get into a humming mode, you know, you just kind of go through life, and we do the Sunday thing, but do we push into worship of God? Today is what we call a worship service, where we give God our best. Lord, teach us. We give you permission to go into places in our heart where there might be a closet we've never let you into. And we say, Lord, I'm going to take the courage to start letting you open that door and see what's in that closet. Last week, we learned that worship is the result of our trust in God. And your trust in someone is based on your appreciation for that person's character. You spend time looking at someone and spending time knowing them. And over that time, you're going, that person's character is trustworthy. I've seen this person through thick and thin, and they are dependable. I didn't say perfect, but dependable. This person is truly about doing what they say they will do. Jesus said, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Dependable character. Last week, we also learned that your worship of God can go no deeper than your obedience to God. 1 John 4:19-20. We love because God first loved us. But we cannot love God any deeper than we will love each other. Really? Scripture says. If you're not willing to love another human being on a deeper growing level, you can't love God on a deeper growing level. I think God put that in there to tell us that our relationships with each other are critically important to our witness to the community. Have you ever seen Christians fight? It can get ugly, and that's a poor witness to people who watch us, because people are watching us. They watch you. Worship and obedience are synonymous. What you're doing right now is worship, but more than that, it's obedience to God. Did you know that? Let's go to church and obey God today. Let's go to obedience school today. God is teaching you and me how to go deeper, because you can. Scripture says nothing is impossible with God. You and I have hit places in our lives that were like, I don't think I can do this. Down the road, you look back at that moment and you say to yourself, why did I think that was impossible? But on the front end of getting into something that's difficult, it feels impossible, but nothing's impossible with God. Developing your godly character is too important to leave to chance. Satan is trying to deceive you into believing that attending church services, attending a class, listening to Christian radio, TV preachers, going to small group, even being involved in a ministry automatically develops your godly character. I can go to these places, check my brain out, and develop my godly character, right? No. We have to be engaged with God, because God is always at work, Jesus said, John chapter 5. God is always at work. James 1:22 says this, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. In the New Living Translation, it says, don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourself. I go to church. I sing songs. I pray once in a while. I'm good. James said in chapter 2, verse 17, that even the demons believe in God and they shudder in fear. I think we need to plan our worship of God. Make it purposeful. So the purpose of Christ's church on earth should not and must not be left a piecemeal approach of growth. What is the twofold purpose of a church? Glad you asked. Here's the first, to bring people to Christ's saving grace. And secondly, to equip Christians for ministry that brings life-giving information, inspiration, and transformation to their lives. That's what we are about. Reaching the lost, equipping the saved, to keep doing what God tells us to do. You're here because someone else chose to do that for you. Yes? Darren, do you remember when I walked into your yard? Kayla and I were out walking. Kayla and I are walking the loop. Darren's out in his yard. And I said, Kayla, let's go talk to that guy. Kayla said, okay. So we walked over. I don't know. We talked for half an hour. And he didn't know I was a pastor. That was by design, by the way. Someone else was willing to do something for you to help you see the love of God. Making a worship plan is easier than you think. I want you to hear that. Making a worship plan is easier than you think. Last week, in step one of how to build a worship plan, if you missed it, worship plans are on the information tables on the back. Take one, take it home, look it through. It's easy stuff. And that sermon is online. Go to our website and get the sermon online as well. So all worship of God begins with what? reading Scripture. Right. Some of us are not too good at that. I don't know about you, but I don't like to read. Now, for a pastor, that's probably not a good thing. I've got lots of books. You know what? I rarely read a book all the way through. I'll open it up, look at the chapters I need to read, and I'll read those. I'm learning, though. Larry Kopic's group showed me how to do better, press in, do more. So I'm learning how to do that. But reading has never been fun or easy for me, so it takes me time to do that. But pressing into reading is important. Now, I'm going to do another Larry Kopic thing here. Don't just read God's word. What are we going to do with it? Comprehend it. Brothers and sisters, let's comprehend it. Let's read it for understanding, not just read some words on a page. How many of you read a chapter or a page in a book and your brain was on something else? I read the words. I have no clue what I just read. We develop our godly character by learning to distinguish God's right ways from the world's wrong ways and surrendering our will to God's ways. That's what this is all about. Surrender. If you accepted Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit lives in you. And his purpose is to empower you to live by God's values as described in Scripture. So let's build step two of our worship plan. Pray and read. Comprehend God's word. Spend 15 to 30 minutes. Starting out, that might seem like a long, long time. Give yourself a few minutes to de-stress, you know? Get to a quiet place. No distractions. Turn off your cell phone. Get away from distractions. And let God speak to you through his word. This is your baseline discipline. Reading Scripture, it's a baseline discipline. If you don't do that one, it will be very difficult to grow anywhere else. So baseline discipline, read God's word. If you don't read, that's okay. You can listen to the word of God. We have technology today. You can get online, listen to it. Get on a phone app, listen to it. That's wonderful. It's all okay. So set aside some time. Secondly, study the godly trait that you want to develop this year, spending 12 months working through your worship plan. You know, we go way too fast, don't we? So here's what I've decided. I'm going to preach this sermon until every one of you is doing it. But we go way too fast. Let's unclutter our lives, unbusy our lives, slow down and go deeper with God. So I've chosen to give you a model, an example of building a worship plan. Each month, concentrate on one verse or passage about your chosen characteristic. A passage is more than one verse. For example, if you choose to develop forgiveness, then you will choose one verse or passage about forgiveness per month. Do you know that the Hebrew would spend a whole year on one verse? A whole year on one verse. You can go pretty darn deep in one year on one verse. That's pretty cool. Find one passage on forgiveness or one verse and read through it. Do some Bible study helps. I can help you with that. There's a lot of people here who could help you with that. And study that, read over it, pray over it for a month. That means you have 12 verses or passages for the entire year. That's not too much homework, is it? Spend at least 1 hour a week. I didn't say an hour a day. 1 hour a week minimum. Learning how to develop that characteristic in your life by putting into practice what you are discovering about forgiveness. Throughout that month, ask some questions of God about that verse. Answer those questions to help yourself practice what you learn. Are you going to hear that from me? Practice what you learn. Practice helps you remember how to do it. I remember when I was in high school, my basketball coach, Bud Scobes, would have each of us on the team practice one thing. One day we were practicing jump shots. So we're all doing that, and then he would take us aside just for a second and tell us one way to improve it. In my jump shot, I was coasting. I was drifting. I wasn't going straight up and down. And Coach saw that. He said, "Durf, don't do that. You stop, and then you jump. Because you're jumping into people, you get a foul." I didn't know I was doing that. Okay, Coach. Great. Thanks for the input. Well, it's the same here. We practice, and it helps us to learn how to do it God's way more deeply. So there are many good Bible passages about forgiveness, but for this example, we're going to take Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, which says this: "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you." A quick life does this: be kind and compassionate to God and forgive one another, and God forgave you. Okay, and we move on. You can't go deep with that. Slow it down. That's why we're spending a month on one verse or one passage. So here's a study plan for it. The main point. What is the main point of the passage or that one verse? Okay, you might be able to pull one or two out of it, maybe three thoughts or ideas. Choose one. What's the main point of that passage or verse? And then we're going to write some questions about that. Here's an example. So off of this verse, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Why would Satan not want me to forgive others and not receive forgiveness from others? That's a question. You could write that question down. How would you answer that question? If we took the time today to work on this and you would talk with folks around you about why Satan wouldn't want you to forgive others, you could come up with some good stuff. How does forgiving others benefit me and benefit those I'm forgiving? That's a good question. What is the benefit to God's reputation if I choose to forgive? How might forgiving others further God's purpose in my family, in my church, in my town? What problems might I experience if I choose to not forgive others? We need to investigate that question. These are examples of thinking more deeply. So there's the main point. Secondly, choose one phrase in that passage or that one verse to focus on. In this case, here's the phrase, just as in Christ, God forgave you. Let's take a look at that. Why did God forgive all my sin? Why did he do that? Sometimes it's hard for me to forgive others. Ask God this question. Was it hard for you to forgive me, Lord? What does this say about the depth of God's love for me? We have songs about God's grace, and we sing them a lot. Oh, Lord, I love your mercy. I love your grace. And then God tells us, great, give that to someone else. Who? Well, give it to that person over there. Well, that person's a jerk. Are you kidding? I don't want to do that. Lord, was it as hard as it is for me to give grace to that person? Was it that hard for you to give grace to me? And that helps you to raise the value of what God did for you. This is no little thing God did. It cost his son's life to give you grace. Would you be willing to die to yourself to give grace to someone else? Jesus chose not to save his own life so he could bring forgiveness to me. See, that's not a question, that's a statement. You could write a prayer off of this one phrase. So we have a main point, we have one phrase, now we have one word to focus on in that verse. I chose the word compassionate. What's the definition of compassion? Concern for the suffering and misfortunes of others. But more than that, compassion is concern that leads to action for others who are suffering in some way. 3 weeks ago, Laverne, a childhood friend of Trish Scully, finds out that Trish is on her deathbed. And she says to her husband, they live in Veneta, which is west of Eugene. And she says to her husband, honey, I want to go to my childhood friend and spend her last days with her, ministering to her. And he said, go. However long it takes, honey, you just do it. I'll hold the fort. And so she drove all the way over here, spent 5 days with Trish, not sleeping very much, because Trish needed medication at certain times throughout the night. And Laverne just blessed her friend. And it cost Laverne a lot of sleep because Laverne wasn't real healthy in terms of her back. She had steel in her back and she couldn't lift, so she had to be very careful. She put herself into a place of compassion. Whatever it takes for me to bless my Trish, I'll do it. Because that's what love does. Everybody say that. That's what love does. In his compassion for me, Christ chose to die in my place. Am I willing to decide to take care of someone in the midst of their hardship? How does showing compassion for people show them what God is like? That's a great one. Don't think that your compassion is nothing. It is something. It's powerful. And maybe write a prayer like this. Lord, help me see how I can demonstrate compassion to my family, my friends, strangers, coworkers. Show me how to do that. Let me see it as an opportunity, not just, well, that poor person over there, I'm sorry for them. No, let me see it as opportunity. As you delve deeper into this passage or verse, be on the lookout for opportunity to use this new understanding of forgiveness, of compassion, to obey God more deeply in your own life. So, developing your godly character is really practicing God's character. I want you to hear that. Developing godly character in your life is actually practicing God's character in your life. To use your new understanding to live out godliness in your life every day. So a worship plan is really a practice plan for doing a relationship with God, with others, and with yourself according to his word. The best advice in building a worship plan is this. 3 words. Are you ready? Keep it simple. Keep it simple. Don't make it too complex. Don't demand more of yourself than what you know is reality for you. Press in. Progress, not perfection, is what we're after. But you have a whole year. We're not in a hurry here. So this plan is vital to your relationship with God. Why? Because without a worship plan, Satan will lure you. I'm saying this as a definite. Satan will lure you into a faith that will plateau. Surveys have shown that the faith and obedience of many Christians plateaus at a level that is comfortable for them. It's comfortable because Christianity, following Jesus, is about comfort, isn't it? Is that the criteria by which you obey God? Is it any wonder that churches are dying? If comfort is the criteria by which we obey God, churches will die. Paul disciplined those he taught. Listen to this. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 through 14 says this. We have much to say about this, but it is hard to explain because you are slow to learn. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers of the word, you need someone to teach you the elementary, the basic truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness. Did you hear that? If you're still living on the milk, I'm just going to do what's comfortable for me. I'm going to do a smorgasbord approach to Christianity, to following Jesus. I'll take a little this and a little that. I don't like that. Anyone who lives on milk, still being an infant, is not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness, but solid food is for the mature, who by constant use, hear that, by constant use, have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. You know what is required to do that? A plan. You need a plan to worship God, to obey Him. Have you been lured into the run-of-the-mill, go-with-the-flow kind of faith? Do you know that God described in your Bible is not a run-of-the-mill, go-with-the-flow kind of God? Will you commit to a worship plan that not only grows your faith, but helps others grow theirs too? You know why? Because they're watching you. If so, here's what you'll experience. If you do a plan and live by it, you'll experience the pleasure of knowing you are honoring God in your growth. Children love to honor their parents, love to please their parents. We do that with God. You'll feel empowered as you learn to worship God at deeper levels of trust that you thought you could never do, and here you are doing it. You will know on a personal level that your worship of God is invading Satan's territory, reaching more people than ever before. You will be invading Satan's territory. It takes a plan to do that. Without a plan, you and I will go into self-protective behaviors. It's called survival. Jesus didn't come to give us survival life. He came to give us abundant life. Yeah. You will never regret building a worship plan and using it to deepen your trust in God. Perfect or unhindered vision is called 20/20 vision. What do we call it when we look back at mistakes we've made in the past, some sin we've done perhaps, and we say, boy, if I had the chance, I would do it differently. We call that 20/20 hindsight. So let's call building a worship plan 20/20 foresight. Using a worship plan means you are purposing and planning beforehand to avoid the potholes and the traps Satan is laying for you. It means you are anticipating the goodness of maturity and the fruit produced in your life. One fun thing about 20/20 foresight is that there may be some unexpected fruit that comes from that. Boy, I didn't know this was going to happen. That's cool. It was 1996, and through several events, studies, and prayer in my life, I was realizing and experiencing the reality of Christ's compassion for me. God gave me one specific experience in my counseling training that turned my anger about my dad's absence in my life to compassion for him. You know you're doing forgiveness work when anger turns to compassion. I learned that my dad had a broken heart. In my anger, I couldn't see it. But in my compassion, God helped me see it. This healing inspired me to worship God by choosing to give love to Dad instead of demanding love from him. I didn't know it then, but I was only going to have 3 more short years to experience relationship with Dad before he passed away. It wasn't easy. Part of me still wanted to demand that he pursue me first. That's what dads do. Come on, Dad, get with it. I was scared to tell him face to face that I loved him. That wasn't stuff Dad and I did. So I was pushing through all that discomfort. It was out of my comfort zone to hug him. And even more so, when I would hug him, he would stand here like this because he didn't know how to hug me back. And I felt embarrassed. But compassion pushes you beyond comfort. It said the heart is more important than your comfort. Go for it, Delbert. God kept telling me. I just sensed that from him. I had learned courage is not the absence of fear, but it's the decision that something else is more important than fear. That's what courage is. And for me, courage was to release being angry at my dad and play the role of a loving father my dad never had. I didn't want to play that role. I wanted to be the son who was pursued. But no, you know, when someone's hurting, someone has to take the lead. And so God said, Delbert, take the lead. The fruit that came from worshiping God in this way was exciting for me as I look back. I was learning to be an adult that was willing to be uncomfortable in order to give and receive love instead of being wounded son and hopeless to get the love I needed and wanted. I didn't realize it until I was building this sermon, actually, that deepening my personal worship of God at the time brought healing to my dad, too. How can your own personal worship of God be healing to someone else? I saw Dad ever so slowly and so cautiously begin to open his heart to me. Oh, it took a long time. And I realized he was more scared than I was. At the end of those 3 years, the evidence that Dad was learning to trust my love for him was that he was able to receive my hugs with a hug in return. And he would say things like this, still touches me. Delbert, I wish you didn't have to leave so soon. That was his way of saying, I love you. I wish you didn't have to leave so soon. This story could easily have been about 20/20 hindsight. With all the regrets that our relationship never connected beyond being a biological father and son, I realize now that choosing to worship God by practicing his kind of compassion toward my dad was in fact 20/20 foresight. Understands that Satan will use all kinds of difficulties, disappointments, and detours to try to divert you from your plan. All growth in Christ will be met with resistance. Is that true? Satan's ultimate strategy, buried beneath the attempt to discourage me through my dad's painfully slow response to my love, was designed to make me give up on him. But more importantly, Satan wanted me to give up on my worship plan. The healing and growth I have gained worshiping God has benefited me, my wife, my children, I believe you, my town, people I meet for the first time. Your personal worship will be healing to others. Your worship plan starts with a written record of questions and answers, but if you pursue a deeper worship plan, obedience plan I'm talking about, worship and obedience, the same thing. The fruit of your growth will bring healing to you and those around you. Yes, your worship of God is personal, but it also brings a healing impact to people around you, maybe far, far away from you. Remember this, your obedience to God and your worship of God goes beyond the moment. It lasts for eternity. I believe that Dad is in heaven because I chose courage, that something was more important than my fear of doing the uncomfortable. What about you? We need to hear the scripture one more time. Then we'll close. Romans 12, verse 1. Therefore, because of God's great mercy, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Wow. There is great things ahead for you. Will you push through? Will you be courageous instead of fearful? You got the guts to do it. You know, it isn't just you. The Holy Spirit lives in you. He is empowering you to do the next step. But you got to have a plan. So let's work on the plan together. If you would like help, I'd love to give it to you. Just whatever you need to help you choose one thing to work on for the next 12 months. And at the end of that 12 months, I think you will be surprised about what you can do that you may have said, I can never do that. Let's respond to God. Keep it simple. Choose one area to work on. Read and pray daily. Spend a little time in God's Word. Build your worship plan and ask for help if you need it. God is so good. I am so thrilled to tell you my dad story. You got one. Maybe it's in your past because you chose courage instead of fear. Maybe that story is still in your future, but it's a real story. Will you let that story come to life? I believe in you. I love you. God has you. It's not impossible. With everything, it's possible with God. We're going to sing a perfect song for this message. I'll obey to serve you. I'll obey to show I trust you. Let's sing that together, shall we? One voice, one body. Let's stand together and sing.